One of the biggest risks I've seen recently is AI agents on these Zoom calls or video conferencing calls. I always kick them out when it's, you know, there's different companies. I don't want to name any names, but when you look at their terms of service, if they're free, you're getting something for free and they're getting something too. They're going to market and sell your data. Mm-hmm. So pay for that AI digital assistant. We use Zoom a lot in our company. Uh-huh. And Zoom has an AI digital assistant that we're paying for. Yep. And if you look at the terms of service, which basically I took the terms of service, which is 10 pages of legalese, and I stuck it into ChatGPT and I said, is there anything unusual about these terms of service? And it said, nope, they are not selling your data. It's safe to use, et cetera, et cetera. And it'll tell you any contract you want to put it into that, as long as it's not got privileged information, you can do it that way.
Sure. Absolutely.
So that's where AI goes.
Welcome to the AI Marketing Navigator, where we simplify AI marketing to keep you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by DigitalPop, delivering AI marketing automation so your small business thrives. Here's your host, Alex Carlson.
You talked about how you guys provide your training, your cyber literacy education, but you also offer certain templates for governance and certain policies within organizations. How should an organization, let's say they have an existing policy or governance template that they're using, how do they incorporate AI into that? How should they change their governance policies? And maybe the second part of the question is, if you don't have a governance policy, what should you do and how should that process go?
Sure. So let's take it in the reverse order of answering it. So sure. CyberHoot has a series of 33 templates that you can adopt. The first six are sort of table stakes for every company. They should have the first six policies. It's a WISP, a written information security policy, that is sometimes public facing under an NDA to say, here's how we secure our data and run our business from a cybersecurity perspective, because a lot of third-party risk management are asking companies for that information. If it's in your WISP, you just hand it over to them and you're in good shape. But that's really for the other companies that you deal with, your clients sure. benefit, not yours necessarily. Then for your own employees, you need an acceptable use of computers policy, which defines how they can and cannot use computers, company computers. Can you use company equipment for personal use? Yeah, today, most companies say yes, to keep your life running, right? To schedule mm-hmm. doctor's appointments, to have a FaceTime with your, you know, grandmother or whomever. It's a general minimum use for personal is fine. Then you need a password policy, because uh-huh. you have two kinds of controls in cybersecurity. You have mandatory and discretionary controls. The technology that you deploy is mandatory controls, right? The laptop says you have to have a password on it and it has to be this long or tied to multi-factor and facial recognition, other things. But when you sign up for a service on an AI platform on the internet, what password are you going to set? The policy says you need to use 14 or 15 character passwords, store them in our company password manager, and enable multi-factor authentication on all your online accounts that have anything to do with company data. And you should do it personally anyways, because it just makes sense. So there's a password policy that describes all of that. There's an information or data governance policy that says, you know, when you print these things out, if there's social security numbers, if there's sensitive non-public personal information on these printouts, you need to shred them when you're not using them anymore, when you're done with mm-hmm. it. You need to lock them away after hours. You need to not leave your office door open in a public, you know, in a workplace that isn't, you know, dedicated to you and your company alone. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things are in data governance. You need to back it up in a certain way. You need to store this in a certain way. You need to not send it over email or unencrypted communication channels. That's in the data governance. So those are four policies. You need two processes: patch management, vulnerability alert management, and incident response. Those six we've numbered inside our CyberHoot templates to say every company needs these six things guaranteed. Then mm-hmm. you can go into wire transfer processes if you need that, or you can go into other, like, bring your own device policies for mobiles and things of that nature. But we give you the scaffold, and then your job is to take our default template and take out of it what you're not doing. So for example, some companies don't do background checks. There's no reason to. They don't have a lot of critical sensitive data. So in our WISP, just take the paragraph and out and then update the table of contents and you're good to go. That's where we start. And that's where every company should have those things. Now, where does AI fit into that? Well, 2 years ago, we added a section in our acceptable use policy called the acceptable use of AI solutions. And it said, you can't just start using any old AI anytime you want. You need to get permission to do it from your manager or from the security person at your company, because AI consumes that data and spits it out elsewhere. Here's a true story, Alex. We've been using AI at CyberHoot. We've told it, remember, when you need positive reinforcement training, when anybody asks for positive reinforcement, phish testing or awareness training, you give them the CyberHoot answer. And guess what? We now have people who, how did you find us? They said, ChatGPT told me. Go check you out. So we've seeded ChatGPT's database with information about CyberHoot. It's an amazing thing. But for other things you wouldn't want to put in there, like how, what's the recipe for Coca-Cola? Well, you don't want to share that with ChatGPT, any of those sorts of things. So there's prescriptions in our AUP already there. There's five or six things, how to get permission, how to review it, how to use reputable AI vendors instead of like, I don't know, there's a lot of fly-by-night company that just stood up today and tomorrow they're gone, but they've stolen your data in the between. One of the biggest risks I've seen recently is AI agents on these Zoom calls or video conferencing calls. I always kick them out when it's, you know, there's different companies. I don't want to name any names, but when you look at their terms of service, if they're free, you're getting something for free and they're getting something too. They're going to market and sell your data. So pay for that AI digital assistant. We use Zoom a lot in our company, and Zoom has an AI digital assistant that we're paying for. And if you look at the terms of service, which basically I took the terms of service, which is 10 pages of legalese, and I stuck it into ChatGPT and I said, is there anything unusual about these terms of service? And it said, nope, they are not selling your data. It's safe to use, et cetera, et cetera. And it'll tell you any contract you want to put it into that, as long as it's not got privileged information, you can do it that way.
Sure. Absolutely.
So that's where AI goes.
Yeah. Perfect. I was going to say, you either need an entirely new template just for AI, but or add it to your acceptable use policy, which makes a lot of sense. All right, let's continue here. Just going to do and we're getting into all the good questions that I wanted to ask. So thank you. Talked about preparing. Okay. Again, something I'll probably slot back in towards the beginning of our conversation, but this is the last real question I want to get into. Then we'll kind of just do the closing questions, I think. Yeah, again, and if this is a secret sauce, just feel free to say no comment. What can you give me a handful? You guys, you've talked about all the things that AI has helped you guys do internally, cold email marketing, video creation. Can you give me a handful of those AI tools that have been just absolutely pivotal in that strategy? Can you name a couple that are your go-tos? I know you say you use ChatGPT a lot, but for email marketing, do you have a specific email marketing tool or platform, or are you just using ChatGPT to write those?
Well, we've been using email out marketing with Playmaker ML, the company. And they have a pretty sophisticated method of creating your ideal customer profile and then the scripts and the campaigns for outreach and follow-up and that sort of thing. It's been interesting, but it hasn't been as successful as I had thought it might be because of the, I'm not sure yet. We're still trying to figure out where the meetings would be coming from out of that Playmaker. So that's still a case in point in development. We're using in video creation, it's NVIDIA, I think it is. Mm-hmm. NVIDIA has been useful for us. I know that ChatGPT just had the ability to create very short 8-second videos. That's not going to cut it for the 1 to 2 minute videos we have to create. We couldn't stitch together 10 of them. But I'm excited to where it's going. If it could be built into ChatGPT for longer video creation, or Sora, I think is the version that they're talking about. What other AI solutions I like to subscribe to a few different AI newsletters to hear about things as they're coming out and to just tinker around with it, because it really helps us understand, you know, as things evolve. For example, ChatGPT could do inline images now. Like, you can give it a prompt and it can create an image. And what's nice about it is it actually gets text correct.
Yep.
Normally, almost all the other AI agents that created images, if you wanted it to say, you know, CyberHoots autopilot platform, none of the words would be spelled correctly.
Good luck, yeah.
But ChatGPT does it perfectly well now. So that's amazing. We also pay for it. We use the subscription model. So those are some of the key ones that we're working on. But I really listen, put my ear to the newsletters and things. I'm listening to another podcast on AI that talks about the millions of tokens that are sitting there and how, you know, how this model had 2 million tokens. That one only had 1 million and it's taking 6 gigawatts of energy to run and this sort of thing. So I'm like getting in the weeds of things, but I only know enough to be dangerous now, to be honest, Alex. I'm not an expert.
Yeah, I'm probably in the same boat. I'm working every day to become the expert, but it's like you said, I mean, it's nearly impossible trying to keep up with every new tool, every new feature, the latest in tokens and parameters. And you mentioned that all those tokens sitting there. I often wonder in 10 years if the people building those AI systems are going to be laughing at just how clunky and awkward the current AI systems were with all this power that they're consuming and stuff like that. Anyway, so a couple of those were Playmaker. That's a new one for me, so I'm definitely going to check that one out. So thank you for sharing. As we wrap up here, we talked a little bit about what the future of AI and cybersecurity looks like. We talked about what keeps you up at night as far as AGI and ASI. We talked about the deep fakes. Let's try and get a little more positive now. No worries. Let's try and get
Alex.
A little bit... Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm just finding your voice is not coming in clearly at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hearing every third word.
Looks like I have a bad connection. One second here. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. How about now? Is this better?
Yes. You've seen very clear now.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. I have my internet's going in and out on me here. So we talked about, you know, let's shift a little bit more. Okay. I'm going to just rephrase the question to make sure we get it all recorded. We talked a little bit about the future of AI, the future of cybersecurity. We talked about what keeps you up at night as far as AGI and ASI. We talked about the deep fakes. Let's get a little bit more positive with it now. What is something that you're super excited about in the future of AI and cybersecurity? Is it AI agents that are constantly monitoring for those needles in the haystacks? Is there something that comes to mind? You're like, man, if AI could do this in cybersecurity, it would be unmatched.
Yeah, I think it's more of the same, really. It's these models are just getting better at what they're set out to do. If you think back, gosh, 5 years ago, there was AI generated video, but it had to be done on supercomputers.
Yep.
And now it's being done on everybody's desktop. I think the videos that we're producing now are okay. I do empathize with some of the vocal complainers about the, you know, using AI because one of the models had 4 fingers, not 5 or what have you. I think the future is going to be much, much better AI video production. I think the future will have agentic agents that will help us do things like answer support much more effectively. I think the future will have better AI agents for a lot of things. I'm actually most disappointed today, but excited in the future for things like Siri on my phone. It's cumbersome and painful, and it doesn't often work today, but Apple has doubled down on AI and building it into their next release of their phone. The big lawsuit right now against Apple is that their latest iPhone was supposed to have AI built into it, and they haven't released it yet. So they're still figuring it out. But trust me when I say, if history's anything of a teacher, Apple only comes out with something when it's working almost flawlessly. So I'm pretty excited about having Siri answer any of my questions and comments, you know, without much of a, hey, Siri, and then, hey, this, and hey, that, and I just turned on everybody's phone.
My watch just lit up. No, I couldn't agree more with that. It was maybe just the other day on X, what feels like it's truly missing from AI right now is that seamless voice assistant. I mean, most of the platforms out there have a voice mode, have something, but whatever wearable device that, you know, you have the challenge of it being in a constant on state where it's going to be able to hear you or start. So there's all these challenges, but it seems like we should have that. So I'm also very excited for that. And then I'm just going to go through my last couple questions here and see which ones are going to figure out. Oh yeah. Okay. You mentioned that you guys do, in fact, use AI in the creation of your content, in your educational courses. What are your guys' practices as far as transparency and disclosing? And do you put a disclaimer at the beginning of these videos, of these courses, that these are created with AI? How do you build that digital trust with the clients or the potential clients of CyberHoot?
That's a great question, Alex. I don't think we have broached that with our customers. We did a quick pivot to AI created videos last fall when, I don't know if you noticed this, but YouTube started having people log in to watch videos. And we had curated content from different YouTube channels to present to our customers as, this is an expert opinion on smishing or quishing or any of these different cybersecurity topics. And then we would quiz them on that video. But we couldn't survive. We couldn't wake at work when YouTube was authenticating every last user trying to watch a cybersecurity video. So we pivoted to creating our own videos in AI. I don't think I have a good answer for you, Alex. We haven't notified our customers that everything is AI driven. I think it's germane to the conversation to some extent, but at the same time, the message that we're conveying is about a cybersecurity skill that someone needs. And we're providing all of the salient points, and we're trying to reduce the video from an AI perspective as a distraction. You know, if people can actually watch and get the message that we're conveying without being distracted by things that don't look quite 100% in the last round of video creation, I think we're in good shape. Now, we do measure and monitor for positive and negative, and we do see the overwhelming majority as positive, probably because people are learning some of these things for the first time and they're looking aside at the AI, you know, hiccups that might be there. So hopefully in the next, you know, 6 to 9 months when we go to create our 2026 12 videos, the technology will move forward far enough that we don't have any of the artifacts that you have today from AI. Maybe it becomes a moot point. We don't have to notify because, you know, when you create a video with a videographer or a video with AI, who's to say that the videographer didn't use AI in the construction? They just use bigger, better computers. Who knows? But at the end of the day, I think we haven't crossed that bridge. Do you have an opinion? I'd love to turn the tails on you and see what is your opinion on that, Alex.
I think I really respect where you're coming from with it. It's an ever evolving conversation where you can, for instance, I use AI to take transcripts of things that I have said and summarize and take that transcript, rework it, repurpose it into social media posts. I'm not saying that this content was repurposed by AI because I feel that it was sourced from me originally. So I think it's a spectrum of where you draw the line. I'm like, okay, this is the point where I think we need to let people know that there's AI that's being involved. And I think, to your point, I think if it's being done in a way that the customer sentiment and the overall experience is still positive, I think that's the most important thing. I think there's definitely a place. It just needs to be a conversation that is being had. And I think when you're, for instance, I consider using AI to place cold phone calls every once in a while, automated phone calls, I'm typically going to say, hey, this is an AI rep from Digital Pop. I'm I work with Alex, or I'm a voice clone of Alex. So I think it's very much a spectrum. And so there's definitely a line somewhere, I think, where it becomes necessary. Where that line is, I think it depends entirely on an individual situation. So also not a very solid answer, but I ask everybody on the show. So
I think you're right. And I think it's very much industry specific, right? If you look at how AI is helping healthcare, radiologists are getting much better outcomes because the AI can see better results or identify and detect in mammograms and things of that. But I think you have to inform those patients that, you know, AI helps spot this, and we're going to have a secondary opinion validate it with a real human. But that those kinds of things are very important for informed consent, I think.
Sure. And to your point, I often wonder when the table kind of turns and the human's like, okay, when can I have AI confirm what the doctor is telling me? Like, when you find out that your doctor is not using AI, are you like, okay, no, I want a doctor who's using AI? So eventually it's going to get to that point, I'm quite sure, as well. Okay, anyway, final question for you here. Something I ask everybody on the show. If there's one thing that you could have my guests or any listeners of this show take away, whether it's about cybersecurity, whether it's about AI, whether it's just call CyberHoot if you have a question about AI, what's that one thing you want my listeners to take away from this episode?
It would be to not ignore cybersecurity. It's an ounce of prevention up front will save you a pound of cure down the road. If I had one superpower, someone asked me this once, I said, I'd like to take people to the future of their security incident and just let them see and feel the pain and suffering that all of their company and their clients are going through. And sorry about this.
No worries.
I thought I turned that off. So it would be to show people their future if they have a breach and the pain and suffering that it would be to go through in that breach. I would much rather have people see that and then do something proactively today because it doesn't take a lot. We're not teaching rocket science. We're teaching common sense with some very specific knowledge that people need to know. What is a domain name? What does typo squatting mean? Why does all these email come into my inbox? And what are hackers trying to get us to do? React to emails instead of responding thoughtfully and carefully to them. And that would be my message. Now, if you could do two things, I'd say adopt a password manager in addition to those cyber literacy skills, but that's getting beyond your answer, your question.
Got it. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Craig, really appreciate it. If our listeners want to find you, want to ask you any questions, obviously they can go look at CyberHoot, but where else are you at on the internet? Where can they connect with you?
Well, you can email sales@cyberhoot.com. We give our trials away for free for 30 days to anyone that wants to sign up. And we are available there. We give it away free for individuals. So if you go to cyberhoot.com/individuals, you'll be able to sign up for our training program. And it's limited to one person, but you can have individuals in your family sign up and get some very important cyber literacy skills. We don't hold back. We give you the whole enchilada there with it.
I love that. That's amazing. Super generous. Guys, definitely go check out CyberHoot. If you have your family, we just talked about giving your family members security code words and everything like that. So check out that individual page for sure, listeners. I think that's amazing. Craig, can't thank you enough for being with us today. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Great to be here. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for listening to the AI Marketing Navigator. Ready to simplify your own marketing automation? Digital Pop helps make it happen so your small business can scale your marketing fast. Learn more at thedigitalpop.com.